Our scripture reading this morning will come from Book of Joshua. If you want to open up your Bibles to the Book of Joshua, chapter 14. We'll be reading verses 6 through 14. Joshua chapter 14, verses 6 through 14. Then the sons of Judah drew near to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, "You know the word which the Lord spoke to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt with fear. But I followed the Lord my God fully." So Moses swore on that day, saying, "Surely the land on which your foot has trodden will be your inheritance, to you and to your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God fully. Now behold, the Lord has let me live just as he spoke these 45 years from the time the Lord spoke the words, this word to Moses, when Israel walked in the wilderness, and now behold, I am 85 years old today. I am still as strong today as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, so my strength is now, for war, for going out, and for coming in. Now then, give me this hill country about which the Lord spoke on that day. For you heard that day that the Anakim were there, with great fortified cities. Perhaps the Lord will be with me, and I will drive them out as the Lord has spoken." So Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, for an inheritance. Therefore Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, until this day, because he followed the Lord God of Israel fully. This morning, I want to talk to you about why Caleb lived on a mountain. Why Caleb lived on a mountain. You know, mountaintop property brings a premium today, in today's market. I grew up in the foothills around the Denver area, and whenever you looked at that property, the higher up it went on the mountain, you know, the greater the price premium was on that property. Because everybody wanted to live as high up as they could. Right, for the vistas. They could see things. They could be above the city. Those types of things. No different at this point in time. Caleb was a man who picked out a mountain lot. Just a little background about where we're at with this story. So after leaving Egypt, the Israelites had come to the border of Canaan. They were on the threshold of the promised land. And God commanded Moses to send men in to spy out the land. Moses sent 12 men into Canaan, and they came back saying that this land was rich and it was prosperous. They even brought back a cluster of grapes so big that they had to have two men carry it. Now the spies, the 12 spies, had both a majority report and a minority report. The majority report from 10 of the spies, you can sum that up in three words: grapes, giants, and grasshoppers. They told Moses that they had seen a land flowing with milk and honey, but there were giants there, and we were but grasshoppers in their sights. The minority report, given by Caleb and Joshua, they saw it much differently. You can sum up their report in one word, and that was God. In Numbers chapter 13, verse 30, "Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, 'We should be up, by all means go up and take possession of it, for surely we will overcome it.'" Earlier in chapter 13 of Numbers, verse 2, we see why God sent those 12 men. They were to search the land. It was the land that God said he was giving to the Israelites. God wasn't sending them on a mission to decide whether or not they would actually possess the land. God had already decided that, right? They were just supposed to go to explore the area that was going to be their new home. So the children of Israel were faced with two reports. And which one were they going to accept? It's a familiar story to most of us, maybe not all of us. So how did the people of Israel reward those two faithful spies, Caleb and Joshua, with their report? Well, they decided to silence them with stones. Numbers chapter 14, verse 10. But God intervened, and He condemned the people of Israel to wander around in the wilderness for 40 years, and the faithless people of Israel over the age of 20 died there. However, Joshua and Caleb, the two faithful spies, they were able to enter the promised land. You know, Joshua eventually led the people of Israel across the Jordan into the Canaan land, where God led that the people of Israel into victory after victory. The time had finally come for the people of Israel to claim their inheritance. 45 years had passed since Caleb had spied out the land. And you have to think, during that time, he was envisioning that mountain hilltop area that he had seen, the place called Hebron that we read about. Caleb could finally move into the promised land at age 85. This morning, I just want to talk about a little bit, and maybe think about a little bit, why did Caleb receive his choice location in Canaan? Let me make some practical applications for us today. First, he received his choice location in Canaan because he never took the easy way out. He refused to take the easy way out. You know, Caleb didn't look for an easy place to live. You know, from our reading, you can see the mountain was inhabited by a race of giants who lived in walled cities. But that didn't stop Caleb. He wanted the mountain for his family's residence and inheritance. You know, if we look for the easy road ourselves, we're never going to receive God's greatest blessings. Jesus tells us that we must strive or strain to stay on the straight and narrow way, Luke chapter 13, verse 24. But we know Jesus also told us it leads to heaven, Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. And we can see throughout the Bible is just replete with examples of those that strained to follow God. There's examples like John the Baptist, who certainly lived in very uncomfortable clothing. He didn't live in a palace. He preached in the wilderness. And outside of the honey he ate, which I like, his diet was maybe questionable, possibly, I don't know. But yet, he received the greatest compliment that Jesus ever gave in Matthew chapter 11, verse 11. We know that Jesus took that very unpleasant and agonizing way of the cross. But in doing so, he conquered sin, he conquered Satan, and he conquered the grave. Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 27 said, I have been in labor and hardship through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. Yet Paul went on to become probably the greatest missionary the world will ever see. The writer of Proverbs chapter 14, 23 says, in all labor there is profit, but mere talk leads only to poverty. You know, for us, the easy way is to drop out of school when the classes get hard, but education is well worth the effort. The easy way for us is to quit when the boss becomes very demanding. But if we stay and we learn, we will be rewarded for that. As Christians, the easy way is to quit serving the Lord. You know, if we may make an embarrassing mistake, we may just be struggling in our faith. Jesus tells us that heaven is just too wonderful to miss in John chapter 14, verse 1. The easy way is to continue to hold a grudge against a brother and sister that has hurt us. But forgiveness is what God commands us to do in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. The easy way is to let a lost friend alone. Just leave him alone. But seeing them become a Christian is one of the most wonderful, joyful experiences there is. Caleb didn't take the easy way out. He faced those challenges head on. And as Christians, we should have that same example. Let's face the challenges we see in front of us head on. Secondly, why did Caleb receive choice location that he wanted? Because he refused to listen to those who lacked faith, and he put his full faith and trust in God. Caleb was just ignored. He was just deaf to the negativity of other spies. You know, he made the same trip that they did. He saw the same cities. He saw the same walls. He saw the same giants that they did. But Caleb saw more than the 10 spies. He saw God. The 10 spies couldn't see God for all of the giants. Caleb couldn't see the giants for God. And the 10 evidently had strong faith before they were sent out in that spying mission because they were noted as leaders in their tribe. Numbers chapter 13, verses 2 through 3. But somehow, while they were in the land of Canaan, they caught what some have termed the grasshopper complex. And evidently this disease was contagious because the people's hearts soon melted as soon as they heard that report from the 10 spies. They were focusing on, we can't. The Canaanites are just too big. They're too powerful. Caleb believed God can. The Canaanites, they don't stand a chance. The 10 seemed to have forgotten God had defeated the Egyptians. He parted the Red Sea. He provided manna to them. He brought water from a rock. And he also caused the earth to swallow up some of those who rebelled against him. Caleb remembered God and his power, mentioning God four times and talking about taking the land in Numbers chapter 14, verses 6 through 9. The 10 spies saw at least four problems. The people are strong. The cities are surrounded by great walls. There are giants. And there's so many people living in all the areas of the land. You know, and that same perspective can plague us today as well. We see the great potential before us, but then doubt starts to set in. Maybe we have the excuses of, you know, I don't have the time. I don't have the money. I don't have the ability to do that. What if I fail? What if a problem rises up that I didn't anticipate? I just don't know that I could deal with it. But you know, God wants us to put our trust in Him. You'll find a way. You'll find a way. Maybe we ought to consider the bumblebee. Nobody really thinks about a bumblebee, right, until you think it might actually sting you. But consider the bumblebee. From what I've read, according to the theory of aerodynamics, the bumblebee should not be able to fly. And I think a lot of us have heard they shouldn't be able to fly because of the size and the weight and the shape of their body in relationship to their wingspan. Flying is supposedly, it's scientifically impossible for the bumblebee. The bumblebee, however, completely ignorant of scientific theory, goes ahead and flies right on anyway, right? It doesn't stop him from flying. And this is the attitude that we should have as well. We shouldn't be overwhelmed with the task that's in front of us. Just be obedient to God and let His power help us through. Some, and maybe many at times, subscribe to Murphy's Law. It's one of those well-known laws. Nothing is as easy as it looks. Everything takes longer than you expect. And if anything can go wrong, it will. But God's Word challenges us to have a more positive outlook on life and to rely on God. There's another law called Maxwell's Law. And because we have God, maybe we need to subscribe to it. It says nothing is as hard as it looks. Everything is more rewarding than you expect. And if anything can go right, it will at the best possible moment. Jesus taught that with God on our side, nothing is impossible. Mark chapter 9, verse 23. Paul said that he could do all things through Christ who strengthens him. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. You know, God can use us to accomplish many things, and many things that most probably don't think are even possible, if we just let Him. If we just let Him. You have to think that when Paul was leaving on his first missionary journey, thinking about what he was tasked to do and others that were spreading the gospel, did he ever think he would be able to write in Colossians chapter 1, verse 23, that the gospel was preached to every creature under heaven? Victory is assured if we just continue in God's will. 2 John verses 9 through 11. Paul stated that, said, "But thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ." 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, John adds, "Greater is He who is in you than he who is in the world." By remaining strong in our faith and our trust in God, like Caleb, we can live on the mountaintop. Thirdly, why did Caleb receive his choice location? Because he was fully committed to God. So while it may be wise to diversify financially, that's what we're told, spiritually it's not. Caleb put all of his eggs into the same basket. He wholly followed the Lord. We read it in our text this morning, and in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 36, God, while He was chastening the Israelites, talking about entering into the land of Canaan, He said, "Caleb shall see it, and to him and to his sons I will give the land on which he has set foot, because he has followed the Lord fully." He has followed the Lord fully. The Hebrew writer actually uses the illustration of the Israelite nation in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 6 through chapter 4, verse 11. He writes about Israel's lack of commitment, their disobedience to God, warning us not to make that same mistake that they did. In verse 6 of chapter 3 in Hebrews, it begins by saying, as Christians, we need to hold fast. In other words, remaining committed to God. In verses 7 through 11, there's this discussion of Israel's unfaithfulness. God was angry with the Israelites, and they incurred His wrath and punishment, and they died in the wilderness. The writer concludes the passage in chapter 4, verse 11, stating, "Therefore, let us be diligent to enter the rest, so that no one will fall through following the same example of disobedience." We are to be diligent to enter our heavenly rest, being fully committed to the Lord. We need to be diligent, meaning to be zealous, making every effort in the study of God's Word, 2 Timothy chapter 2, 15, in adding the Christian graces and characteristics to our faith, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10, in being certain of our calling and being part of God's chosen, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10, and the previous one, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. To be found in God in peace, spotless and blameless, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 14. Being diligent just equates to remaining faithful. We do not want to follow the example of the Israelites being disobedient and unfaithful and not enter into our heavenly rest. But we do want to follow the example that Christ gave in being faithful to God in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 2. As Christians, Jesus instructed us not to be half-hearted, but to be fully committed to following Him in Revelation chapter 3, verses 15 through 21. And Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 15 and 16 instructs Timothy, and it has the application to us as well, that we should be giving all of our energies to our Christian growth, persevering through all the difficulties. As Christians, we are part of God's family, a people for His own possession, and we are to be zealous for good deeds. Titus chapter 2, verse 14. God wants us to be fully committed to Him, choosing to serve and follow Him, even in the face of opposition, just as Caleb did. And finally, why did Caleb receive his choice location? Because he refused to be bitter about the past. You know, sometimes we can become mired in the past. We grasp onto and we hold on to events that just inhibit our spiritual growth and our maturity. It's keeping us from moving forward in serving the Lord. You know, because the 10 spies, they focused on all the physical challenges that they saw instead of seeing things through God's eyes, Caleb had to wait four decades to be able to get to his home in heaven. Certainly he was a man that certainly could have been bitter. He could have said, if you just would have listened to me, we would have already been here 4 decades ago. He could have complained about the wasted time. He could have given up because the majority was wrong. But he did not become bitter. He didn't lose his focus. Instead of looking back, Caleb actually looked ahead and he claimed his mountain. You know, sometimes we do have to suffer for the mistakes of others. We will. But we can't become bitter and unforgiving. Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31, he said, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you along with all malice. We have to move on. We have to move on, even as difficult as it may be and may seem at times. As Christians, we need to forgive the injustices of the past that we faced rather than clinging to them, letting that bitterness take root and poison the rest of our lives. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, that love does not take into account a wrong suffered. And Jesus told us in Mark chapter 11, verse 25, that we need to forgive so that the Father will actually forgive us. I recognize there is some value in looking back. Moses told the Israelites in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2, he said, you shall remember all the ways which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. Just a little bit earlier in our service, we look back to remember Christ and His death during the Lord's Supper. But we also look ahead during that time to when Christ will come back for us again. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26. You know, when you're out driving, you definitely need to be checking your rearview mirrors from time to time. But if we keep looking at them, we're certainly going to end up in an accident. When looking back keeps us from looking ahead, we should remind ourselves of what Paul wrote to the Philippians in chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. He says, brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. You know, Jesus also spoke about the dangers of looking back to a previous life when he said, no one after putting his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Luke chapter 9, verse 62. You know, like Caleb, we don't want to let past events keep us from looking forward and maintaining our focus on our heavenly home. You know, when Caleb finally entered that promised land, he lived on a mountain because he just simply would not settle for anything less. We know that Jesus Christ reigns in the greater promised land of heaven. So as we look to Caleb's example this morning as Christians, we should never settle for anything less than the mountain residence of the heavenly promised land. You know, this morning, we haven't talked necessarily about becoming a Christian, but there may be those in the audience who have been studying, come to believe the gospel. They've repented of their sins. They're ready to confess Jesus as their Lord, the ruler of their lives, be immersed in the waters of baptism to walk a newness of life. And yet there may be others in this audience that are just spiritually struggling. We all have these struggles. What we went through today, you know, Caleb was facing similar things going through his mind, and it can be challenging at times. So if there's anyone this morning that may just be struggling spiritually, if there's any way that we can help you, if we can love you and surround you and pray for you and help, we just ask that you come forward now as we sing our invitation song.